No way. No way. No way. Can you believe it? Can you believe that just happened? No way. There's a number of things I like to check out in your scrolling in your feed. Little video clips. For me, it's skateboarding and surfing. And so that provides opportunity to see things on a pretty regular basis of there's no way that can happen. How did that happen? There's no way. We worship the God of no way. But let's just clarify a little bit what we're talking about this morning. Impossible. What does the word impossible mean? It cannot happen. Unable to be. Unable to be done. Utterly impractical. Hopelessly unsuitable. Difficult. Objectionable. Have you ever faced something like that? You ever faced a challenge in your life? Maybe you're facing one today. It's impossible. There's no way. There's no way. It looks like there's no way through. No way over. No way under. No way around. No way through this challenge. Maybe there's someone in your life who is facing no way. The impossible. Do you know someone who's facing the impossible? What's a miracle? A phenomenon, a wonder, a marvel, a supernatural occurrence. An extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. It's a violation of the laws of nature, some would say. The 18th century philosopher David Hume, that's how he described a miracle, a violation of the laws of nature. It's a classical definition. I want to look at three questions. Can God do the impossible? Yes. Maybe we've checked that box in our mind and in our heart, but maybe this is a good time of life to ask it again. To ask ourselves, now that we've lived some life, now that we've faced some challenges, who am I talking to today? Come on. Let's be real. Can God do the impossible? That's right, Alexander. How about this one? Can we ask God to do the impossible? Yeah. Yeah. We think and feel yes, but maybe sometimes we need to ask ourselves, is it okay? Is it all right? Do I have permission? I don't want to treat God like the genie of the lamp or like my minion. Can we ask God to do the impossible? And here's another question for us. How? I'm glad you're with me, Alexander. That's good. Here's another question. How can we ask God to do the impossible? How? Let's look at a few examples from Scripture. I know some of you were waiting for that. That's what we're here for today. We're going to start with looking at this question. Can God do the impossible? Genesis 18:14, we see that God is into miracle births. Abram and Sarah, aging, certainly by our standards, had not been able to conceive a child. Desperately wanted a baby. God sent an angel to them, and this is what was said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Miracle births. You know, one of the elders of this church is Howard Rachinsky. Howard and Donna Rachinsky, at the time when their two kids were in their late teens, graduating high school, starting college, For health concerns, Donna had had a total hysterectomy. Some of us understand what that means. She'd had a total hysterectomy out of preserving her health. And guess what? God did a miracle. And they had a baby. A miracle. Doctors are like, yeah, don't sue me. I don't know how that happened. And that miracle baby is now in his 20s. And has prayed for you. God's into miracle birth. Can God do the impossible? Think about this. What did the angel say to Mary? For nothing will be impossible with God. God's into miracle birth. Okay, that's nice. Pastor Ben, it's getting to be, we're thinking about summer. It's not Christmas. All right, let's go a little further, because I believe that a personal relationship with God can inspire you to pray for big, specific miracles. That was so nice, I'll say it twice. I believe a relationship with God can inspire you to pray for big, specific miracles. Watch this now. The prophet Jeremiah, who had a ministry of decades, said these words. O sovereign Lord, he's praying to God, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show unfailing love to thousands. Now let's explain a little bit what's going on here with Jeremiah. Jeremiah is in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is surrounded by the Babylonians. They've laid siege to the city. In fact, they're about to take over. In fact, God had told Jeremiah that they were going to take over. For generations, God had warned the people and said, if you reject me, if you rebel against me, if you turn away from my loving grace, bad things are going to happen. And what did they do? They ignored God's warning, and for generation after generation, they rejected God, rebelling against him, refusing his love, and they did wrong. And now God is allowing the Babylonians to come, and God had given Jeremiah a prophetic word that the city was going to be overrun, it was going to be conquered, to help the people learn that they needed to turn to the love of God. And he had been prophesying, and the king of Jerusalem hated that, and so he threw Jeremiah in jail. Jeremiah prays these words to God in jail, knowing that something bad is about to happen. But also, let's go a little bit further in the story. God had told Jeremiah to buy a field. Through a right of family, with the passing away of one family member, it was Jeremiah's right to buy a field. And this is crazy. This is stupid. This is like, no way, don't do that. Why? Because if you really believe, Jeremiah, that the Babylonians are going to come and conquer and take over, what does that mean? No one has claim to real estate. It has no claim. It's wasted money, throwing good after bad. But God says, as a sign of faith, that I will restore. The people will realize they're wrong. They'll repent. They'll turn away from their toxic selfishness. They'll return to me. And when they return to me, I will restore this land and your rights to that field. And just as God predicted, a relative came to Jeremiah to visit him in prison, to offer to him to buy the land. Can you imagine how crazy this is? He's locked up. And the visitation is not, I feel bad for you. You know, this king is doing this to you. No, the visitation is, will you spend some money after you've already predicted that it would be foolish to do so? And Jeremiah starts before this prayer and he says, look, God has done just what he said he was going to do, so I will do what he told me to do. And he says this prayer, talking about who he has found God to be. But what is also interesting to me, this last phrase you see on the screen, is that he begins to quote what Moses had taught them about who God is. Moses, in his personal relationship with God, had been inspired to pray big prayers for specific miracles. In fact, this last phrase of this verse and what launches in the verses to come are a direct quotation of what Moses said, God said, when he spoke his name for the first time, Yahweh. God described himself with these phrases, and so Moses quoted what they had learned about God to be true. You show unfailing love to thousands. That's the setting. It's the setting of no way. And think about how Moses saw that it would be true when they stood at the Red Sea with the Egyptians bearing down on them, overwhelming them in numbers and with military might. They stand before the Red Sea, and Moses, inspired by who the living God was, who had said that he had seen the wickedness of the Egyptians, he knew the Egyptians were not going to repent. He was calling them to an awareness of himself, and this is what Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and watch. The Lord will rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Someone needs to hear that today. Just stay calm. Get moving. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. God, even in that day, in fact, was bringing Egyptians into a relationship with him, and he is still doing it today. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, walls of water on each side. I can't wait to see the video in heaven. They were filled with awe. They put their faith in the Lord. They saw God do something. No way! Like, you know how you have to go, you go hire a register, it means something different? You go hire it, no way! God is also in suffering. God's also in suffering. One of the oldest manuscripts in our human possession today in museums is the book of Job. Job, who suffered much, the loss of wealth, livestock, children, his health, his marriage, his friendships, a little messed up. Faced with the question of, had bad things happened to him because he had sinned and he just wasn't being honest about it? No. But in the depths, before anything good happened in this story, Job says this of what he learned about God, even in his suffering. He says this about God in his last prayer to God before the very end. "I know that you can do anything, and nothing can stop you. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes." One of the things that inspires me about this church, that motivates me to do all I can to serve you, to get to know you, to spend time with you, is that most of the people in this church have faced the impossible. At some point in their life, or even now today, facing impossible odds, unbelievable challenges, loss, grief, suffering. You could say that you can't tell the story of this church without talking about suffering. And we don't always talk about it. We don't keep it at the front of our mind. It's not the beginning of the conversation when you meet somebody here, but it is true. Most of the people in this church know suffering. Impossible odds, difficulty. And yet, you're here. You're here. And you get it. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of questions, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of wondering if God can do the impossible, just like Job, you're here, willing to wrestle with it, willing to walk through it, willing to face it. And maybe could we be willing to say, as our faith would grow, that even in the face of seeing where God has not yet shown up, where God didn't answer the call, where it seems like it's not going to happen, and yet believing that God can do the impossible. I love that about this church. In effect, I'm preaching to the choir this morning because you have lived it with your lives. Come on, somebody, you know I'm not exaggerating today. But think about this. The Lord Jesus also knows suffering. The Lord Jesus also saw the Father not do what he would prefer. The Lord Jesus wanted to not have to go to the cross. And here's what he prayed in his hour of anguish before Jesus. Abba Father, Daddy God, everything is possible with you. In the midst of his suffering, he said in his prayer, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He went to the cross. He took on himself our sins, our mistakes, the guilt of what we have done wrong. And aren't you glad he submitted to the will of the Father? He suffered much for us so that we can be forgiven, washed clean, given a new chance, a new spiritual heart, new life, and the hope of heaven before us. So that no matter what happens on this earth, one day we will be in a place with Uncle Jay where there's no more crying, no more weeping, no more suffering, but joy that lasts forever. Even Jesus knows what it is to prefer things would go differently and to walk through suffering, believing that God could do anything. We'll talk more about this issue next week. Jesus also talked about this principle when he talked about salvation, your personal salvation that I just talked about. What are we talking about today? We're talking about a transferable principle, truth. A lot of people talking about their truth today. And some people say like, okay, you can speak your truth, but you can't have your own facts. Facts are facts. Here's some facts for you today. God has made available salvation. And here's what Jesus said about salvation. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. If it were up to you, if it's only up to your abilities, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. That's what Jesus said about salvation. And we should, you know, in some churches they would say, you could put your weight on that. I like gospel preachers. You can put your weight on that. Why? Because three different times Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, and then it happened. Come on, somebody, don't shout me down today. Right? The truth of the matter is, from eyewitness accounts, from people who were there, hundreds of people who would not deny the truth, that three different times before it happened, Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. And then it happened the way he predicted. Can God do the impossible? Oh, heck yes. Jesus explained that the prediction of these events was so that they would believe. Believe the good news that forgiveness is available for all who believe. Jesus explained that's the reason for the predicting it would happen. And then them seeing it happen. Doubt is not your enemy. Doubt can be helpful to you developing strong faith. But the beauty of the thing about faith is that it is not about your strength. It's about the strength of what or who you are trusting. For several years, I had a traveling job and it was almost all flying. You know, taking commercial flights. Smelt-West and Smelta and Schneided and all of those, right? And walk onto a metal tube that was going to go 30,000 feet in the air and trust that they were going to end up where it said on the ticket. Is getting on the plane that is the determining factor of whether or not I had faith it was going to happen. It's not about your strength. It's about who you are trusting. But I think it helps us to ask, do I believe God can do the impossible? And this room, looking around this room, you know, this week we've had a lot of conversations with people who just don't believe at all. And we are here for everyone in whatever stage of the journey that you are in. As a lot of people over the past couple years have done a dismantling, a deconstructing of their faith. We are here for the journey. We want to talk openly about the journey. At City Harbor Church, you're here to help people take next steps in following Jesus. And I want to give us some practical suggestions about what we can do this week that can be helpful in growing in this faith. Consider these questions. Who is God? It's really easy for us to assign attributes to God that are not real, are not true, are not facts. To prejudice God based on human relationships. One of the things that helps us is going to the scripture to read about what other people learned about who God is. And, like we saw today, about who God has said that He is. But we need to take time to stop and consider, to whom are we talking or running from? To whom are we putting faith in or finding fault in? Who is it? Who is God? What has God revealed through words and actions about who He is? And that's a part of what we unpacked with some of the scriptures today. And to bring it to a focus of, do I believe? Can God do the impossible? And so here's just three really simple practical steps that I'm recommending that we do. One, memorize scripture about this truth. I just gave you a bunch today, and you see, as happens, thanks to Steve every week on the church website, cityharborchurch.com/messages, you'll get the scripture references and notes and you can hear it again through the podcast, right, or the Facebook live stream, what video that's up, whatever it is. But look back at the scriptures and memorize them. And you know, one of the things that I found is really helpful in memorizing scripture? Starting with the short ones. And guess what I gave you today? Lots of short ones. On a really simple theme. And yet a theme that is easy for us to believe is not true. Can God do the impossible? Grab a scripture and memorize it. Second, write what you believe to be true about God doing the impossible. Write it down. I use an app that keeps notes on whatever device I've got, the laptop, the tablet, the phone. Get a ballpoint pen and write it on your stinking arm. Write it down. What do you believe? What do you believe about God to be true? What do you believe about God to be true? Can God do the impossible? Because before we ask if we can ask God to do the impossible or how we should ask God to do the impossible, we need to ask if we believe, can God do the impossible? Remember what I'm saying, because personal relationship with God can inspire us to pray big, specific prayers. relationship. It's about a personal relationship. Are you in a place of personal relationship with God that is inspiring you to ask God for something that is so far beyond your ability to control? Memorize a scripture. Write down what you believe to be true. And here we go. Watch this one now. List what impossible prayer topics you have. We can get just stacked with the layers of life and burdened down with disappointment and discouragement and hurt and hope defrauded and delays and things. All those are bad D words, right? We can get layered down by those things, but what can happen in life is that we can find ourselves going day after day and not bringing them to God. Discouragement does not get better by ignoring a conversation with God about the hard stuff. The way that Christianity can not be fantasy, a mile wide, an inch thick, cotton candy nonsense, is if you're willing to go deep. Because God is already in the deep. God is already with you. As we heard Rebecca give a message, powerful message on the God of the details. God is all powerful and God is all knowing. There is nothing that has escaped His attention. The question is, are we willing to unpack? A lot of times we're not because we are afraid. A lot of times it's not because we are afraid, because the only unpacking we've done is in private. We're afraid of what will happen when we unpack. This is why God has given you a church family. This is why you need a church family. This is why we've got to develop relationships, cultivate relationships with each other that are deep enough so that we can unpack this stuff together. God has not designed you to walk through life solitary and alone. God has designed you to walk through life together. We are better together. You don't need to fear unpacking what seems like it's impossible. You don't need to be afraid of that. Because not only is the God of the heavens, who is above everything, available to you, but God has surrounded you with people who just might surprise you with how helpful, how encouraging, how strengthening they are. Well, I don't want to do that. So, you know, I kind of tried to talk to them that one time and they didn't seem interested. They look different than me. They smell different than me. They sure as heck talk different than me. I don't want to do that. That thinking is not helping you. Isolating is not helping you. You want different results? You got to try different stuff. Hello? You don't like how the recipe tastes? It's time to change the ingredients. And what's going on in our faith struggle and all the difficulties that we have faced over the past couple years? And we want to walk through this. Because listen, sometimes we suffer things God didn't ask us to suffer. We carry weights God didn't ask us to carry. Life is heavy and seems overwhelming, seems daunting and discouraging because we're walking around trying to do it ourselves out of our own strength. And yeah, it's your life. But God wants to help you learn how to draw strength from Him. Did you notice in the story of Job, after he prayed that prayer, God spoke to him, and then Job prayed for his friends. And then God did the miracles, a double portion. See, what happens when we share our impossibles with other people is that we get inspired to pray for each other. And when we pray for each other, we unlock another transferable principle. Who am I talking to today? Hang on, Pastor Ben, you're all loud and fired up. I'm ready to get louder. I mean, listen, we need this truth. We want to get encouraged. We want to walk through life with more strength and peace and joy. You got to get over those things that look like hurdles in your relationship between you and God and your relationship between you and other people. We got to no longer be afraid to list what seems like impossible. We got to bring it out into the open with each other, with God. We got to bring it forward to prayer. We got to not be afraid of the hard questions. God's already in the deep with you. God is in the deep with you. Who needs to hear that? God is in the deep with you. Is anything impossible for our God? Can God do the impossible? Yes. That's what I was waiting for. Thank you. Yes, He can. Yes, He can. Is Chris out there? Chris, are you within the sound of my voice? He's right there. He's outside? Okay. Dan, would you mind coming to play on the guitar? Would that be okay with Chris at the keyboard? I want to pray for you today. And then I'm going to ask Marie to come and share a testimony of answer to prayer. Whatever it is that you're going through today, whatever it is, we are here to walk through it with you. Whatever it is you're going through, we are here to walk through it with you. You are not alone. God has placed you in a family, a church family. This is a place you can be real. This is a place you can belong. I know it's not easy to share. I know it's not easy. It's not easy for me. But it helps. It helps. God doesn't want you to walk through it alone. God is in the deep with you already. I want you right now to think about your impossible prayer topic. What is it? Or maybe it's somebody in your life that's facing the impossible. I want you to have that on your mind right now. Let's go to God. Let's go to God. One true living God, Yahweh. Because of our relationship with you, we believe that we can ask for the impossible. Lord, we bring before you today things that are beyond our control. Things that are beyond human help, beyond the scope of modern medicine. Beyond the scope of our ability to bring change, beyond the scope of the help of anyone else, any business, any organization, any institution, things that cannot be done when we think about it in human terms. We bring to you things that are impossible for us. We say we want to see you, God of the impossible. God with whom anything is possible. Lord, hear our prayer today for miracles, healing, jobs, the salvation, our salvation, the salvation of loved ones, a forgiveness of sins, a new spiritual life. Hear our prayer today for miracles. And we feel surrounded. We feel overwhelmed by what seems impossible. Would you break through? Would you do the impossible, Lord? May our spirits be lifted today, encouraged today by who you are, by all that you have done. Open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears to see you for who you are. To believe that you are the God of the impossible, the God of the no way. In Jesus' name, amen.